Log Talk Radio.
Thank you.
say. And I believe the chains are broken. The sun turns to rain.
Matters. me. I was fooling myself, but now I come to see. It's cold and dark when you're not with me. You make me shine. And we can tell when you're not around. You keep me stronger. You and I can overwhelm it like charity. Oh, oh, so in my life, we give you first place. All I have is here.
You are waiting, here in the corner, love is Jesus, love is to dance, who can let it tear you up? You are waiting, here in the corner. Thank you, Father. We bless your name, we praise your name, and we glorify your name. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. And we ask, O God, that you would speak to us today, Lord. Let it be none of me, but all of you, Jesus. God, allow me to hear from heaven. Father, we come this morning with great expectation that you would fill us this morning fresh. And Lord, that you would speak through us. Father, give us this hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes that we can speak to your people. Lord Jesus, it is not me but you who speaks by your Spirit. I submit my tongue to you right now, my eyes and my ears to you. Lord, allow me to see and hear and speak that which says the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, thank you for saturating the atmosphere and sterilizing the atmosphere with your glorious anointing. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask you to touch all who are sick in their body, in their mind, in their spirit, in their soul. Touch this morning that they may hear from heaven. Not only hear, but receive that which is the Spirit of God. This morning we are going to go into 2 Corinthians. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians. The second chapter. This way we want to go. We're going to start at verse 1. And we're talking now, this is part 3 of the subject matter, Revelation, the redemption of the saints, part 3. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we have to continue to bring forth the word of God regardless of what's going on in the atmosphere, in the neighborhood, in the city, in the town? On Blog Talk Radio, we still have to bring forth the Word of God. You have to be always ready to give an answer to the hope that's within you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody's busy, but God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Paul says, verse 1, and I, when I come to you, brothers, did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I decided not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Listen to what Paul is saying. false out and come with fancy words. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and his crucified. See, Paul says all I claim to know is Jesus giving his life on the cross for the sin of man, for the nobodies. Him dying on the cross, him burying and him raising up from the dead. Paul described the nature of his ministry in the Corinthians, to the Corinthians. He reminds them that when he came to Corinth, he preached foolishness. This is the message of Christ crucified. Rather than relying on persuasive speech or worldly wisdom. You see, preaching the gospel is foolishness to them that are lost, but it's the power of God to us that are saved unto salvation. Hallelujah. Paul continues to speak here in verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know, when Paul first came to the apostles, when he first came and joined with the apostles, they was afraid of him. Hallelujah. And when he got into certain parts of his apostolic journey, people were always trying to do something wrong to him. Why? Because he was preaching about Jesus. He was preaching a message that most of the people didn't hear. Hallelujah. When you preach the kingdom, when you preach Jesus crucified, when you preach that he is the only way, the truth, and the life to God, people will come against you, because today people are saying that there are many ways. There are many other ways to God. But when you are preaching that truth, that infallible truth, the uncompromising word, folk will come against you. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about revelation, the redemption of the saints. Hallelujah. We are living for the time, living to see the day that Jesus will come in the clouds with the angels and receive us and give us that heavenly body, that glorified body, that robe of righteousness, the crown. Hallelujah. We are looking forward to that day. So we have to stay on this straight and narrow path. We got to stay on this path that gives glory to him, that edifies his body, that allows people to see the light of God in us and through us. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what's going on. We have to stay on that straight and narrow path. A lot of things are happening in the world. And every day we get up, that Lord allow us to wake up out of that sleep. And we turn on the television, on the radio, or we pick up a newspaper, or we even see the newspaper or hear the newspaper on the television, because it speaks now. You know, every city don't have a hard newspaper, hard copy. A lot of times the newspaper is on the television. You can read it on your cell phone. And the news that we get each day is very disturbing. So we can't allow the news and the information that we're hearing all over the world to disturb us and cause us to give up hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. And the hope that he has for us is eternal hope. It's not a hope that for today and tomorrow is gone. The hope that he has for us, that he's prepared for us, is eternal hope. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. See, there's a contingency in that text. That you may be also. Glory to God. That means that there's still something that we have to do. What do we have to do? Apostle, I'm glad you asked that question. Yes, you said, but Jesus died for us. Yes, he died for your soul, not your flesh. So our flesh is still going to show up its ugly head and want us to do things that are contrary to Christ Jesus. So we have to press on in holiness. How are we going to get this thing? We have to look at the blueprint of life, the basic instruction before leaving Earth. I told you this yesterday. We have to look in here and search the scriptures daily, like the Berean church in the book of Acts, chapter 17. We have to go in there and look at the word of God and see what God is requiring for us, what he has penned down for us to live by. We can't go because the bishop said, the apostle said, the prophet said, the prophet or anybody said. We got to go and search this thing for ourselves. So we know that it's coming out of the mouth of God. Out of God himself, it's coming out of his mouth. He's right here in the word. And then we can't deny it. We can't refute it. We can't say, well, a man just say that, so I don't have to do it. No, this is God's word. This is God's word. God's finger. You see it on the word. So Paul continues to speak to the church of Corinth. Verse 4 says, he said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Today, a lot of people are preaching and teaching. But when you look and you take inventory of them, you don't see it's the anointing. You don't see the anointing. You don't say that there's the power of God moving through them. Because they spend 3 or 4 days writing a sophisticated message to entice you or draw you to them, not to God. They're not preaching by the Spirit. They're not preaching out of the book, allowing God to lead them. They're just giving you something. Say, well, let me give you some stuff here from the Hebrew text. Let me give you something here from the Greek. Let me just give you something here from some Latin. And they'll go on and give you all this stuff because it sounds eloquent. It sounds like they're well educated, but no anointing, no power. Hallelujah. Paul said, I didn't come in that manner, but I come with demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God was using Paul. God was speaking through Paul. Paul allowed God to use his tongue, to use his feet, his hands, his eyes, everything. Paul has surrendered after doing what he has done to the churches. God has taken him over, taken over his heart. God, and a matter of fact, when God told Paul, he must suffer great things for the gospel. Today, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to go any place because the first thing we said, well, if I go there to minister, I stand a great opportunity of getting hurt. Jesus said, the life you save is the life you will lose. But if you lose your life for his sake, you will gain your life. We want to just go on to places that we are accepted. We want to go in the neighborhood that everybody know that you're the preacher. And they're going to say, oh, yes, that's Brother Dave. That's Brother Dave. But you don't want to go to a place where you're going to be threatened because people are dealing crack cocaine and heroin and they're drinking and doing all this stuff, the homosexuals in that neighborhood, the prostitutes in that neighborhood, and they really don't want to hear the gospel. You don't want to go in that place, and that's the place that God wants us to go. He wants us to go out in the highway and the hedges, and he wants us to compel people to come to the banquet. Come to the place where he can touch them, where he can anoint them, where he can transform them. We want to go to a place where they're going to give us all the money, where they're going to raise a big offering for us. People are going to take us this place and take us that place, take us to the mall and buy us stuff. We want to go to places that we are exalted. But it's not about our exaltation. It's about exalting the Christ that raised us up from dead, the one that paid his life, gave his life, shed his blood so that we can have access to the cross of deliverance. We can have access to the cross of restoration. We can have access to the cross of healing. We want to be praised. Paul said, howbeit, when we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet none of the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. See, this thing was already penned down. It was already penned down for those that God would call. that they would walk in this anointing, that this glory would rest upon them. Jesus said in the book of John, Father, the glory I have with you, I give to them. That they will become one. I know a lot of time in the book of Isaiah, he said, the glory, I will not share my glory with no one. He's talking about the reverence. The reverence that belongs to him. And a lot of times we are trying to get that reverence. We want to be glorified. Oh, yeah, I lay hands on the blind and the eyes open. I went over by the graveyard and I prayed over that man when I was getting ready to put him down and to get him out of the coffin. We want to get that glory. It doesn't belong to us. I was watching a show from Nigeria, a church from Nigeria last night somewhere. I was scrolling through the YouTube channel. And I saw this preacher, some apostle, somebody, and this man brought his brother in. He was 12 years old. And apparently they had from birth they were feeding him through a tube. And what happened is that his lips were fused together. This little boy, this is what they say, I don't know. I don't know if it's a put on or not because I wasn't in Nigeria. But this little boy's lips were fused together. I kept looking and I spreading my hand across the screen of my computer because I wanted to see if I could see some glue on the boy. Because you know a lot of these preachers do so much tricky stuff. They use a lot of tricks because they want to entice, like Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter, 2nd chapter. And they want to entice the people. So I kept spreading my hand across, you know, you take your fingers and spread open to open to enlarge the screen. So I kept doing that, and I kept coming closer and closer. And one time I took my glasses up, and I sprayed stuff, and I cleaned my lens to see if the glasses was cloudy. Because I wanted to see if this man was working some type of stuff on these people, on this little kid, and he was going to mesmerize the people. Well, anyhow, he began to talk about Jesus. I'm talking, it's just part of the Lord just dropping in my spirit to bring it up. And he walked around and had the cameraman falling close to the little boy and he keep his pointing on his mouth and the mouth was just cut together like the skin was together. Well, and he said, Jesus gave his apostle power to heal and to raise the dead and so on. Well, he also said that Jesus said the works we do, he did, we should do even greater works. Well, one thing lead to another. He began to pray for the little boy. And he laid hands on the little boy, and the little boy, 12 years old, he fell out. He fell backward in the sanctuary and fell on the floor. So the preacher goes down to him now and laid and speak in his ears and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Well, he little boy, like I said, to say he was 12 years old. He on the floor shaking. Well, the next thing, when they put the camera back on him, guess what happened? His lips had come unglued. There were no more, his lips were not no more, were not sealed together anymore. And he began to say, shout out for Jesus, Jesus. I said, wow, this is powerful. You know, and this is what Paul is saying here. He didn't come with enticing words. A lot of times preachers have too much trying to entice you with all of these fancy deliverance, you know. What I'm saying, the way they're delivering the words with all the fancy words. They're giving you Hebrew, Greek, and they give you exegesis and all this stuff they say to be doing. Because they want to sound so eloquent, it's not a trend to declare Christ. We got to declare Christ as Lord, as the healer, as the deliverer, the restorer, the one that died for us, not the preacher. We got to declare everything is on Christ, pointed to him. The little boy got up staying for Jesus. So I said, well, praise God. I was excited. I said, wow. I don't know. I can't tell you. I got to say, well, what I saw on the screen, that the little boy lips come on blue. I didn't mean the way it was. I was amazed. And it had like a little hole somewhere in the lip where they was putting a tube in there to feed him. So I don't know because a lot of people are doing stuff. We have to go by what it's worth. I said we got to follow the manuscript. We got to be like the Berean church, as I said earlier. We have to follow the script. Even though we see the stuff, we believe, you know, we still got to go back in the manuscript. You know, when I do my work, sometimes the people say, well, did you look at the print? And I'll say, I can't go and say the print said, well, they want to have the furnace in the closet. And I said, no, you know what? I'm going to put the furnace in the kitchen. They're not going to pay me. And if they pay me, I'm going to have to go on do everything that I have done and do it all over again at my expense. They're not going to pay me a second time. They said, well, the print said, Mr. Calder, the print said that the furnace was supposed to be in the closet that's off from the kitchen or off from the garage. So I have to put it exactly there. God is saying we have to do the work according to his instructions. And then he got to get the glory. It's got to be on him. Paul continued to speak here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're talking about the revelation, the redemption of the saints. Paul says, verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is what I like here. I like it all. But here what God, what Paul is saying, it's unto our glory, not unto his glory. So people will know that we are his. That's the glory that he's talking about. People will know that we are his disciples, that we are sent. We were sent by him. Not that they're going to put us on a pedestal and praise us, give us all the glorious praise, but they will know that we are his disciples. Because people say, well, you know, yes. It said here unto all glory, so it should be glorified. No, that's not it. The glorified the one that's in us, that's working through us. He said, which none of the princes of this world knew, talking about Satan and his demons. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These ones that think that they're in control, led by Satan, handpicked by Satan to do his very work. Hallelujah. This is why you see so many folk today. You have to pay attention to what they're doing in and out of the house of the Lord. Pay attention. Don't be misguided. Check the word of God. Some of the stuff that they're saying that sounds so good on the evangelistic channels, you have to go back and look in the word, check the word and see if what they just said, what I heard them say last night on the screen, is it real? Is it true? Is it of God? Why? Because when Christ come, I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, that we have been walking in the path that has been laid down for us before the foundation of the world. What path? The righteous path. The holy path. This is why we got to be separated. We're trying too hard to connect with them, to be like them. You have pastors now, and I've seen them. They didn't have no tattoos before. But all of a sudden, they want to go put more tattoos on their body. If they had one tattoo, now they got 20, 30 tattoos. And they got their sleeves rolled up, and they got the breastplate open so people can see they got a big tattoo on the chest. They said, well, my pastor's cool. He got tattoos on his chest, on his back. And summertime, he's walking around with jeans, cut off jeans, and you can see the tattoos on his back, on his chest. Look, he's trying to be like the world. And he had them before. But all of a sudden, most of the people having tattoos and piercings and all this stuff, so the pastors are piercing up themselves, these bishops and apostles and stuff, they're piercing up themselves and putting more markings on their bodies because they think that that's going to draw the people. No, you don't have to be like them. Come up from among them, be separated, and touch not the unclean thing. This is what he says. Why are we trying to, Leviticus says, don't pierce yourself, all these piercings and stuff. Hallelujah. We are putting all this stuff on. We figure if we do this stuff, well, they come to the church. They come to the church because Pastor wears lipstick and all this stuff and all this nail polish and all this stuff and all the blush and stuff on our face. So we can do that stuff. We paint ourselves. The Bible talks against that. They say, well, that's not going to stop a person. But God said, don't do it. Well, I got to do it. If God said, don't do it, don't do it. He said, well, that's not going to stop you from getting saved. Well, after you get saved, stop doing it. Stop doing it. Hallelujah. So Paul comes in to work this thing here down the word. Down here. He talked about the wisdom of God and the spirit of God. Who are we seeking? Whose spirit are we seeking? Whose wisdom are we seeking? Paul is talking to the church at Corinth and trying to get them out of the mindset that they had of looking like the world. Paul said, I didn't come to you with great speech or fancy speech. I'm way down here. I want you to see the God that's in us. I want you to see the God that's in us, how we operating. We're not trying to trick you in any manner, deceive you in any manner. So he says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. God has great plans for us. That's why he said when he leaves, he's going to prepare a place for us. God knows that we will go through suffering in the book of Acts. When Paul had an encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus, and when Jesus sent a word to Ananias, talking with Paul, he sent a word in a dream. He said that Paul was a chosen vessel, that he must suffer great for the gospel. He would suffer great. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through anything for the kingdom. Hallelujah. We want to put on the robe, put on the pastors, the bishop ring, the apostle ring, and we want to be up there and people bringing us or lemonade or fruit juice or whatever, you know, the usher bringing stuff to make sure the apostle has something to drink. Make sure the bishop has, and we put our chest up like we all got. We can't even carry the Bible, the cell phone. We can't carry anything because we are so sophisticated. Paul suffered for the gospel. He suffered for the gospel. Peter suffered for the gospel. John suffered for the gospel. They all suffer for the gospel, but we don't want to suffer. We don't want to go through anything. And don't say anything about me, about us, because don't you know who we are? We are God's people. So nobody can talk about us. That's what we said. We got our chest up. We operate like we all had in the bag of chips in the Pepsi-Cola. The Bible says that when Paul had an encounter with Jesus on his way from Damascus, the Bible says that God says, Jesus says, he will suffer great things for his name's sake. If you are going through right now, you ought to be rejoicing because of who you are. If you're not facing some tribulations, maybe you're not doing what God called you to do. Because if you're doing what God called you to do, you're going to face some tribulations. Satan is going to attack you. He's going to attack us. No. He says, but God, not the pastor, not the apostle, not the evangelist. He said that God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Is God's spirit searching you? Is it searching us today? Is it searching us every day? The deep things of us, the spirit that's in us. Is there any deep things in us? We ought to be asking ourselves. Well, for what man knows the things of a man? Say the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. See, we can only know of God what the spirit revealed to us. And a lot of folk are running around saying they've been in heaven and they did this and they sit down and had coffee with Jesus and all this kind of foolishness. I mean, they say stuff and folk say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The Bible has said, I said, no, nothing came down, went back into heaven except that which came down from heaven. He might give you a glance in the spirit realm, but that nasty flesh you have is not going into heaven. I'm telling you now. Now, if I hear you say that you were in the spirit, you saw into heaven, God allowed to see something in the spirit, a vision of heaven, I can understand that. But folk are coming and telling you and preaching that stuff out. Oh, I went into heaven, and I sat down and talked with Jesus. I said, Lord, where is that in the Bible? Elijah's flesh didn't go into heaven. Enoch's flesh didn't go into heaven. Flesh cannot go back, go into heaven. Flesh go back to the dirt, but the spirit can go into heaven. God, the spirit came from God. Now you hear what I'm saying to you. Listen to what he says. Hallelujah. When your spirit has been sanctified. When your spirit has been sanctified by God. Enoch was a sanctified man. Hallelujah. Elijah. Glory to God. But if your spirit is not sanctified, you got to wait here till it get right. Hallelujah. That's why the devil is working so hard to bring a disturbance inside of us, in our spirit man. Start with the flesh, work in the flesh. That's where he start working the flesh, so the flesh would draw the spirit with it. He said the spirit and the flesh is contrary to each other. There's a battle going on inside me. Paul said, every time I want to do right, wrong is present. I find myself doing wrong. Man, we don't want to repent because we think that we arrive. Oh, I got my this, I got my that, I got my this degree and that degree and all this stuff. And I got up off the bed this morning because my phone rang early this morning. I thought it was this lawyer. I'm waiting for a call from this lawyer. And he's coming out of Virginia. And I saw this Virginia number, 571. I jumped up. And then they come with this foolish stuff. Let me tell you something. There's too much crooked people out there. You got to pay attention. And they come tell me, am I speaking to David Cal? I said, who's calling? He said, well, I'm calling from Publishers Clearing House. And he ups and tell me, says, now I know where he's going. Because I had one of them called last month, a month before, sometime last year. And he told me this whole story. Did you know you win $500,000? You got a second prize. You win the second prize of a publisher's clearing house. Let me show you how the devil is. And I said, oh, yeah? I said, just like that. I said, oh, now with excitement. I said, oh, yeah? I want to hear his play. So he said, well, are you excited? I said, yeah, I'm always excited. I'm always excited about everything in life. I'm excited. Life is excitement to me. I'm excited. So he says, well, you're going to get this money on the 26th, you know. They're going to send you the check on the 26th. I said, that's good. You excited? I said, yes, I'm excited. So he continued. Well, he said, but I got to get some information from you before I turn you over to the next phone call, my supervisor. So I said, you know what? You put your supervisor on the phone, I give him my information. I know that if they call me, they got information on me. So when he is reaching back, on the phone, I could hear him playing around, you know, face off. Or I press clicks on my phone. Because, see, what they want to do now is get all of my information now. You know, all of my information. Because this is not Publishers Clearing House. This is the crooks. These are crooks. Last month, they told me I had to send them $1,500. Well, they said, last month, they said I won something like $10 million, something like that. I don't know what it is. A big set of money. And I said, well, So when he told me, he said, well, you know, in order for us to release this check to you, I never heard nobody say that, you have to send him $1,500. I said, well, you know what? If I win all that money and you got access to it, you can just deduct it from the money and send me the rest. He said, no, we don't do it like that. We got it. Yeah. I said, well, Clicks, I'll talk to you later. But here it is, what I'm saying this because the Lord's saying that there's so many people are using con games today. And if you're out there in computer line, you hear me, watch yourself. My Lord, get so much of that stuff. She's 92 years old. Somebody called her a couple weeks ago telling her that her grandson was arrested and they needed all this money to get him free. You hear what I'm saying? To get him free. Luckily, she didn't send them a check or give them a credit card number. Here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's go back into the word. Paul is still talking. Verse 12. He said, no, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, I believe that Paul is saying this. It's not written here, but you have to look at when you're looking at the text, you've got to look at it from both sides. That it's also the spirit of God and the spirit of the world, Satan. So when things are coming, we got to take an inventory of it, analyze it, and look at it from God's point of view. Look at it from God and see if it's coming from God. Because everything that you're hearing doesn't necessarily mean that God is speaking it. So this is where we got to go back in. And sometimes you got to ask God, God, is that you talking to me? Is that from you, Lord? And if it's from God, sometimes what God would do, the Spirit of God would do, he's called a man of God, a woman of God, to speak to you. Or you may turn on your TV, you might open a book, or you may be listening to the radio, and God will confirm if it is him, what you heard. Don't run off because you hear somebody say something. Oh, that's God, I got to do this. No, no, no. Pray about it. Ask God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. See, you got to mend that. You got to lay this thing out and look at God's word. And you say one thing to me, but let me see what God say about it. If this is God's way, if this is God's word coming to me, I got to go back in here and look at it for myself. Spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the natural things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. See, when you're talking about salvation, and you're talking about Jesus dying on the cross, and he walked up the Valador highway to the Calvary. People say, what are you talking about? I don't believe that. One little girl was asking in the church one Sunday morning in Bible study. She said, if Jesus is God, how did he allow people to beat him up and nail him up and put him on a cross? Was that really Jesus? And we had to break this thing down for this little girl. She's 13 years old, and she wanted to know. Hallelujah. Why did God allow his son to go to the cross and suffer such a ridicule and torment on the cross, abuse? Because of my sin and your sin and our sin, he came and he suffered. The righteous for the unrighteous, the holy for the unholy. He says, for God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. These people the men of the world, the people of the world, they can't accept this thing. So this is where we have to take time, breaking it down, explaining to them how Jesus loved them and gave his life so that they would have life, we would have life. The Bible says he laid down his life. No one took his life from him, but he laid it down that he might take it back at another point in time. But he that is perfect judges all things, yet he himself judges no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Here in his book, Paul said he did not come with enticing words. Paul is not interested in seeing people come to Christ because of his persuasiveness. Instead, he wants to see the Spirit working among them. He said he came with demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Greek word used here, apostolodesis, conveys the certainty of the Spirit work among the Corinthians, delivers. While they value wisdom and logic, they cannot deny the experience of the Spirit's power, which is demonstrated in their own conversion. You know, I remember when I came to Christ, when Christ drew me, not to come to him, he drew me to him. And I got an understanding that he was Lord and that he died for me. I ran off crying because something happened inside of me. I sought the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God working on the inside of me. Paul explains why he uses an approach that differs from typical speakers. He wants to direct the Corinthians towards reliance on God, not human understanding or abilities. See, a lot of time, instead of we sharing to people, sharing of what God has done for us. I remember in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, we were doing street ministry. I didn't know a lot of scriptures. I was young in the ministry. But I wanted to learn. So I was going up with all the preachers. We go on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And I was out there. We was out in Alexandria, Evangelia. We had a big school bus. The bus was painted purple like Barney, you know, the cartoon character. And I was out there, and we all had to minister to people. And we was in the drug neighborhood. So this guy came down the street, and he was carrying a shopping bag. He had a few groceries, but you could see that he was intoxicated. And he said, well, why don't you minister to him, Brother Dave? Because they know that, you know, I came out of that field, addiction. And I began, I said, well, I'm going to tell him. The elder told me, Elder Michael, he died from Harrow, crossover preacher, good preacher too. And he said, well, tell him about you. He said, well, talk to him about your deliverance. And this was the first time that I ever get to tell anybody about Jesus. See, Paul is not trying to win them with the fancy narration. He's seeing them the experience that he had with Christ, what Christ has done, what Christ is doing, what Christ is able to do. He's talking to the Corinthian church. So they told me to minister to this guy in the street. And I said, well, I don't know a whole lot of scriptures. He said, well, just tell him of your experience with the Lord, what the Lord Jesus has done for you. So I begin to tell the guy about my addiction and how bad I was. And at that particular time, I had a suit on. I could see it. Like right now, I got one in my closet like that. It was a gray pinstripe three-piece suit that I got from Salvation because I was living in Salvation. I'm going to stay there for 11 months. And I stayed there for 11, I didn't want to stay there for 11 months. Let me make that plain. I was there for 11 months because my family didn't want me back home. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because of my addiction. I didn't steal from nobody's house. I didn't break in nobody's car. I didn't break in nobody's house. I didn't rob nobody when I was in my addiction. But everything in my house that didn't nail down, wasn't nailed down, I took to the pawn shop. I took some. We had some toys. The kids had toys that would talk and they speak French and they speak English and they speak the Jewish language, Hebrew. They speak mathematics and all this that we had toys. We have got them for them. And when I was addicted, in my addiction, I would take them to the pawn shop, thinking that once I go and get my vice, the thing that I was had as a vice, I would get money from my job, my working, and I would go back to the pawn shop and I would get these things back. I share all this with this man in the street. He was looking at me like, this can't be true, because I have this little $2.95 or 98-cent suit. Looked like a $1 million suit on. I looked clean. I was clean. And I had these nice black shoes from Salvation Army. And they were clean, too. He was looking at me. He's checking me. He's intoxicated, but he still have enough sense to check me out, checking me from the head to toe. And I begin to tell him how somebody prayed for me in Adventure and Salvation Army. I was there for my addiction, but I wasn't clean. I wasn't totally clean. I'm talking about spiritually clean. Physically, I was clean because I was off the substance for some months now, but I wasn't spiritually clean. But I told him how one day this elder came in. He's another one that died. He came in there, and he said, can I pray for you, Brother Dave? I thought he was going to pray for me for God to just take away my addiction, but he didn't pray that prayer. He prayed that God would heal my soul and set me free. And right there sitting in Salvation Army in the pew, I broke down like a little child. And I began to tell this man in the street all this. I didn't know a lot of scriptures to share with him. But I knew if I shared him my testimony, that it would touch his heart. And this man fell down in the street crying. He said, I want what you have. So I called the elder, I said, come on, let's pray for him to receive the gift of salvation. He's ready to surrender to Christ. And we pray for him in the street. I didn't have a lot of scriptures. That's why Paul says, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, look, for I determined not to know anything. Paul said, I don't know anything. Remember what Paul was doing. Paul was persecuting the church. But now he come. God has drawn him. I hate to say that. God has drawn him because a lot of times we say, when I come to God, no, you don't come to no God. Ain't no crackhead going to put down the pipe and go over there looking for God. You're looking for the next hit. When I find God, no. God was never lost. God came in the crack house and got me. And I told him, young man, he said, man, I can't really believe what you're saying. He looking at me. And as he's looking at me, he's seeing a person that's changing. Paul begins to talk here. He says, how dare he speak wisdom among them that are perfect? It refers to those who understand and conform to the message of Jesus Christ. Paul also maybe applied the term ironically to the Corinthian believers who considered themselves to be highly spiritual when in fact they were immature in the faith. How many people that we meet in our course of this journey that we're taking for God, that we try to tell them what God has shown us, and they will want to make us feel like they already arrived. No. I'm still learning. I'm still getting stuff from this preacher and that preacher and next preacher of how I have to put this, get this, get this, 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 get my life in line with what God requires. I've been doing my trade for over 33 years, more than 33 years. And now God has the people come up with this new technology. It is all electronic, digital. So now I'm learning more stuff. So what am I saying? The more I open this Bible, the more I open these Bibles. I just got a Bible in the mail yesterday. And the more I open these Bibles, the more God is revealing to me who he is. I'm learning more. And the more I heard other preachers preach, and they got fresh revelation from God, I'm learning more. How is it that people are giving up and don't want to learn? They don't think that that anybody could teach them anything because they know so much. Let me tell you, when I listen to the gospel all day long, you still don't know this whole Bible. How many times I have this whole text highlighted in my Bible? How many times I have read this, studied this? And every time I read it or study it, God showed me something fresh. Here in this book, Paul began to talk to this church at Corinth about God's wisdom, which is revealed in Christ's death, resurrection, and the saving of humanity. It is not bound by time. It is eternal. See, we got to understand that this, when we're talking about the resurrection, the death of Jesus, and the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, it's not bound by any time, season, or by man. It is eternal. As long as you're sharing that Calvary, his death on that cross, his burial and his resurrection, this is forever. It will never, ever be abandoned or can never be bound. It brings deliverance to the hearer. You may say, well, I prayed for this body last week. It don't seem like they heard, but let me tell you something. Once they heard the word of God minister to them, and you leave and go to your house, leave and go to your job, it could be 10 weeks down the road, that word going to come alive in their spirit. They can't get away from it. Because once you hear it, it's eternal. It's going to convict us to want to change our life. Either you're going to change for better or you're going to go deeper into what you're doing. The Greek word here, archon, can refer to either to humans or to divine beings. The term may refer to Jewish or Roman officials who were involved in the crucifixion of Christ. It also could refer to evil spiritual entities. Paul emphasized that everything that these leaders have and do is temporal. We got to know that if we're not doing what God says, everything outside of this wall, everything outside of this instruction that we get from God is temporal. Only what we do for Christ will last. So we have to get this mindset that we have to get on the same page as God. How do we get on the same page of God? Following his instructions. Follow his instructions. Excuse me. Follow his instructions, you'll be on the same page as God. We find it difficult because sometimes what is distracting us is the world system. The world system. I tell you sometime before, your cell phone. You mean just got a cell phone? I got this one last year. And my phone was really messing up early last year. No, maybe before last year. It still looked new because it's already paid off. So what happened is, no sooner you get a cell phone, 3 months you got the phone. The phone haven't even lose the shine because you get a nice case to protect it. We protect the phone. We protect the Bluetooth, earbuds and all this stuff. We protect all this stuff. How many of us protect our Bible? How lot of us try to shift the Bible from where you see water spill. But you want your phone, you'll put your phone on a pedestal. Somewhere where you know not the drink, the soda, the milk, the coffee, the tea can't spill on your phone. And you'll see somebody put their cup of coffee on the coffee table or on the bar in the kitchen. You know, some people got that kitchen country stuff like a bar. And they put the Bible right there. Don't think about how worth this, how much worth this Bible has. And they just put the Bible right there. But they wouldn't put the cell phone there. They wouldn't put the Bluetooth there, because if the Bluetooth get wet, it's done. If the cell phone get wet, you got to put in the bag with rice. That's what they say. I never had to do that. They'll try that. They say put in the bag with rice and let it stay 2 or 3 days or so. And so after a day at least, it's going to start to get energized. But we don't put as much worth on the Bible as you put on these electronic things. They send you a note, see your phone's only 3 months old, tell them, well, we can give you a good deal. Just trade in your phone. You pay all them hundreds of dollars, over $1,000 for your phone, and then they want to give you $200 for so to get you in more debt with a new phone. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. From the Bible, it costs so much. It's worth so much. The information that it may not cost you $1,000, but the information that's in this book is worth more than you can pay for. And we don't protect it as much as we can. You go to Africa, India, China, the places where some place you got to steal Bibles in. You know, because you got to smuggle them in. That's the word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You got to smuggle the Bibles in to get the people that don't on the underground church can't get a Bible, can't find a Bible in the store, and they hold that Bible close to their chest like it's the blood that's flowing through the arteries to the heart. We don't value it enough. If we value it enough, we'd spend more time in it. Because in this Bible carries the treasures of life. It's in here. Revelation, the redemption of the saints. Some folk jumping off because they believe they have more wisdom than I'm seeing here today. They know all that stuff. So I got all this information. I know all this stuff. I need to hear this stuff. But I need to hear more for me. I need to hear more for me because I want to grow. Let me use some more. I'm going to use this out of the Logos Bible now. Now, verse 7 says, meaning, hidden. Paul talk about this gospel is hidden from those that are lost. It's meaning it is not plain to the person looking for understanding of the world. Themselves and others, rather it can be understood only through revelation from God's Spirit. Now, sometimes we are teaching and preaching, and folk may be looking in the Bible, and they say, well, I don't see all that she's saying. I don't see all that he's saying, because they don't understand that we are teaching and preaching from the book, but we're getting revelation from the Spirit. The Spirit of God himself is ministering to us. That's why we say that when we're teaching or preaching, I'm preaching to myself first. Why? Because God is ministering to us, every preacher that opened that book. If he doesn't have 15 pages written up and teaching straight from that book, the Holy Spirit won't give you revelation. And even if you got 15 pages, when the Holy Spirit show up, you can't go to them pages. He's going to have you going out of places that you didn't even plan to go to. The Lord of glory, Paul talks about, reversed to Jesus Christ. This destination echoes the Old Testament name of Yahweh, King of Glory. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. God of glory. Psalm 29, verse 3. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2. He talks about, I have not seen and ear have not heard, let it have an enter into the heart of man. Paul uses Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, to assert that people cannot understand the things of God through human faculties or human reasoning. Isaiah 52, verse 15, Isaiah 65 and 17. They must rely on the Spirit graciously given to believers by God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. This is where we are. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God knows what the man of God needs. The Spirit of God knows what the man of God needs, what the woman of God needs in order to accomplish what God needs to accomplish here in this earth realm. We are God's servants, God's ambassadors, sent to deliver the message of God in this earth. In other words, we are God's spiritual physical men and women here in the earth realm. You are delivering a heavenly meal in this earth realm. For those who love him, and besides that, God grants insight regarding his work to those who follow him and do his will. As we become, let's say, Holy Spirit, the more we become in love with God, the more God will reveal himself to us, more of himself to us. To us, God has revealed that God has shown the hidden wisdom of God to those who follow Christ. In verse 7, Paul urges that people desire to know more or have greater wisdom should seek to walk more closely with God. As God reveals his eternal work to people this way. See, folks say, well, you know, I want God to bless me with more understanding. I want God to bless me with more wisdom. I want God to bless me to know more of his word. What? God wants to bless you to know more of his word. But you know what you got to do? You got to pick up the Bible. I used to tell my pastor, I didn't know a whole bunch of scriptures. One scripture I learned about 37 years ago was Proverbs 11 and 1. A false balance is an abomination of God, but the just way is his delight. That was one of the scriptures that I put in. But then I would leave the church building on Sunday after the service, and I have cleaned up and all that stuff and set the pews and vacuum and all that stuff, and I'd be heading home. I said, Pastor, I said, Dad, or I call him Pastor sometimes, I call him Dad sometimes. I said, well, I'm going to see you next week, or I'll see you Wednesday night. I'm going home and getting my word. He said, no, son, don't go home and get in your word. Go home and get the word in you. And he kept saying that and kept saying that until it really took up resonance inside my heart. It began to resonate with me. So it was a difference instead of I going home and getting in the word, I go home and get the word in me. So how did I get this understanding that I was praying for? I had to put the word in. I had to study the word of God. I had to go over and over while people was going to the nightclub and going to the park and going up, all this stuff. I was home. And if I go out and I go somewhere, I park my truck somewhere. And I sit down in the truck. If it was summertime, I got out and I went and sit on the park bench with my Bible and I studied the word. And I'm still doing that today. Because why? I want more wisdom. I want more understanding. Folks think that because you pray for more understanding, God is just going to open the window, the door, and the gates of heaven and just pour it up from heaven and pour it into your heart. No. He says, son, if you want to know me, daughter, if you want to know me, open the book. Open the manuscript. Open the scroll. Unroll the scroll. And let it go into your heart. True, the Spirit indicates that Christ's method for revealing his work to people and granting them spiritual gifts of wisdom and knowledge. See, when we study the Word of God, the Spirit enlightens the words to us. That's why when we are studying, sometimes we say, man, do you see that? You'll be in the room by yourself. Your wife somewhere, your husband somewhere, and you'll be in the room. She said, well, don't bother, James. Don't bother, Linda. She's in the room. She's studying now. She's studying. And she'll be in the room and say, James, do you see that? Oh, man, I'll even call his name. Say, do you see that, honey? And he's not in the room. Baby, do you see that? She's not in the room. You in there by yourself studying. I know my wife, she said, who are you talking to? I said, no, never mind. The word jumped off, and I said, oh, do you see that? The Spirit gives you clear understanding. Are you studying the word? You're going over and over. That's what he's talking about. He gives you wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of man, Paul uses this phrase to draw a contrast with the Spirit of God. Just as people know their own mind, so the Spirit knows the things of God. The word pneuma in Greek for the Spirit of the world, God's Spirit is not like the Spirit of people or anything that can be comprehended, computed, or reasoned in this world. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20. And you see this. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He's telling you straight up here. The wisdom of this world is foolishness compared to God's wisdom. So God reveals his wisdom to us. While God's word is eternal, everything of this world is temporal, including current rulers and evil spiritual beings. The Spirit, who is from God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is from God. And is freely given, refers God's gracious gift of salvation, which believers can comprehend because of the Spirit. Romans chapter 6 and 23. It says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, which is the Spirit, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. It therefore describes the content of God's revealed wisdom and thus refers to Christ himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 24, which says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. God has given this to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul is likely referring to the gift of prophecy, which involves speaking on behalf of God. Now, spiritual things talks about the Spirit, the pneuma. Is the one who truly explains and reveals the ways of God to people. Believers are just messengers and instruments of the Spirit's message. So we are like the mailman. We go to the shop and we pick up our briefcase or our backpack. It is filled with the messages from God. And we come and we deliver them to people that need to hear the word of God. The natural man refers to a person who cannot grasp the things of God. He does not understand. His wisdom eye or her wisdom eye has not been opened yet. But this is where we must be ready and willing to spend time with them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You see that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. So when you are preaching and teaching the gospel and people seem to be not paying attention, don't get mad. is because they don't understand. Their spiritual eyes and ears have not been opened yet. It takes time. Everybody's not going to jump to you or jump to me. Right off. Paul again stresses that a true understanding of spiritual things occur only with the aid of God's Spirit. You're preaching. You're teaching. Some folk might think they know more than you. Don't get mad at that. That's their prerogative. Jesus himself judged no one. Those who belong to the Spirit do not need to be subject themselves to human condemnation or approval. They recognize that God is their only judge. Chapter 4, verse 3. Now, who has advised them? Paul draws from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13, to emphasize the gift of the Spirit. Since Christ has no need of an advisor, this quotation suggests that God's wisdom is incomprehensible, yet he has enabled believers to understand the wisdom of his salvation through the crucified Messiah, Jesus. The mind of Christ probably refers to God's gift of the Holy Spirit to his people. The presence of the Spirit grants believers the ability to discern God's will and works within them to make them more like Christ. See, this is why we need the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, and you see that in the reading of Acts chapter 2 and 38. This is one of the things that he says. When we repent and we get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost helps us to understand what God is saying. The Spirit that's within us grants believers the ability to discern God's will and works within them. It's important. This is a word that needs to be on Facebook. This word here. The presence of the Spirit grants believers the ability to discern God's will and works within them to make them more like him. See, we are transformed. We are being transformed. We are being transformed by the word of God. We are being renewed day after day. We are changed, being changed. We are changed. Every day we are changed. Paul warns the Corinthians against judging their leaders according to human wisdom instead of God's wisdom. He also reminds them that it is God who feeds and grows the church, not the human leader. Paul reminds the church that there is no room for rivalries. All leaders build on a single foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ to help build up God's temple, his people. Now, the reason why I'm putting this in here is that a lot of times we be feuding with each other. We're like Beverly Hillbillies. We feud with each other concerning our position or our stance for God. And God said, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. God is going to build his church. And he built his church through the ones that he put in position to carry the mantle. We're all carrying the mantle. So we're all building the church by the Spirit of God if we are studying the word. Don't put your own 2 cents in. Let it be the 2 cents that God gives you. I have to go in different ways in this text. But the Lord said we'll do a part 4. And when we do come back, we'll go into the book of, hallelujah. We go somewhere. We got so much stuff. We go in the book of Acts, and we pull up some stuff from the Acts in the book of Ezekiel. And you know what the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel? Ezekiel says, God says, all souls are his. all, my son. And, you know, sometimes we ostracize people because they're not walking like we walking. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 and verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 18. Let's read these two verses I just hear in this here. And Ezekiel says, God says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth shall die. Now, he's not talking about the flesh. And this is eternal death that he's talking about right here. The soul that sinneth shall die. Verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. See, that? This is a powerful chapter here that we can do a lot with when we're talking about the righteous and the wicked. Very powerful. You can't carry the weight of your son or your daughters. I can't carry the weight of my sons or my daughters. We carry our own backpack. We have to pay for our own sin. This is what the prophet is saying. We got to pay for our own sin. Doesn't matter how much I love my wife. If she don't walk after Christ in this blueprint of this Bible, she got to pay. I can't say, well, Lord, you know, I kept her for 50 years, and she's my wife. I need her to come on in. He's going to say no, because she heard the word. She heard the word. You know, he heard the word, and if he reject the word or she reject the word, you know, because a lot of people say they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. And they still think that they're going into heaven. They really do believe that. They believe that they're going to go into heaven with God. And the Bible tells you clearly, if you reject the Son, you reject the Father. Because the Father and the Son is one. They don't understand that. But they say, I love the Father, but I don't love the Son. Well, you're still messing up. You're still messing up. Every soul belongs to God. I don't care if it's a homosexual soul, if it's a lesbian. I don't care if it's a gangbanger. Because see, I heard a preacher say last night, he said, don't judge no man. He said, the reason why? He said, I learned this when I was a young man in the church. Because I used to judge everybody. I came in the church, he said, I was excited about following Jesus and following the instructions that I was taught. He said, but the Holy Spirit dealt with me. And he let me know that all souls are his. And he said, and he let me know that I don't determine when somebody gets saved or don't get saved. I said, wow, this is powerful. I said to myself, David, you don't determine when somebody gets saved. God does. I preach the word, but I don't tell nobody. I can't tell you when you're going to get saved. You can say the prayer of salvation, and I don't mean you saved. Because you have not truly opened your heart to God. How do you know, Pastor? Because if you haven't opened your heart to God, God is not going to come in. How are you going to know that a person is not truly saved when they're still walking the way they've been walking before to say the prayer of salvation?
Mm-hmm.
That means they have not opened their heart to God. But when you open your heart to God, you say the prayer of salvation, like Bishop going to say in a few minutes, God comes in. And the Bible says he comes in and sucks with you and you with him. That's the door he's knocking at. Not your front door of your house. Not the front door of your job. He's knocking at the front door of your heart. And when you open your heart and let him in, he sucks with you and you with him. In other words, you get the understanding that he's giving to you. That's the supper that you're doing. You're not eating no Popeye fried chicken when he's coming. You're not having no prime rib when he's coming. He's coming, and now you can feast on the word of life, the true word of life. You can feast on it. He begins to feed you. He is the bread of life. He is the fountain of life. But you got to open your heart so he can water you. so he can give you the drink that you need. Remember the woman at the pool of Jacob, at the well of Jacob well, the adulteress? When she come to the well to draw water, had to two water pots come in the heat of the day. And Jesus sat at that well waiting for her. How many of us will sit in the hot of the day, 125 degrees? You don't even want to sit on a 95-degree weather. You said, no, too hot for me. Even though I need the shade of a tree, so now I got to get in the house with the air conditioner. Jesus sat in the hot sun waiting for that woman. Why? Because he wanted to give her a drink of life. He's the fountain of life. He said, the water I give to you, you'll never thirst. She said, sir, give me that water. She didn't want the water so she wouldn't have thirst. She wanted that water so she didn't have to come back to that well. Because the people talked about her lifestyle every time she come to the well. Everybody would mock her and tell her about all these people's husbands she was sleeping with. She said, if I get this water, I don't got to go back to that well. They ain't going to have to tell me nothing. But when Jesus began to minister to her, she left the very water pot that she, and water that she needed, she left, that she wanted, she left, because she got the water that she needed. She said, come on, show your man that tell me everything I ever done. He's got to be the prophet. He's got to be the Messiah. He's got to be that man that sent from God. Every soul, he said, all souls are mine. Every soul. That lesbian, that homosexual, belongs to God. We don't know when they're going to turn around and say, I'm not going to go down low anymore. I'm not going to be down low anymore. God touched their heart. He said, no one can come to me except I draw them. No one can come except I draw them. He got to draw. Folk run around saying, well, I find God. I can remember when I find God. Where do you see in the Bible any place from Genesis to Revelation that God was lost? No place. He was never lost. We were lost. That's why he had to lead us. It's strong and glory coming to time to find us. He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. We were lost, not God. I thought, when I find God, and they sound so prolific, you know, sounding good over the microphone. I remember when I was lost in 1979, I was lost, and I found God. They said, I remember. They don't even say when I was lost. They said, I remember when I found God in 1979. They said, they don't say when I was lost. They said, I remember when I find God. I said, Lord, in 1989, I found God. I said, Lord, I go back and say, what is he talking about? Where did God, where was God ever lost? No, you can't find it. If you show me, I'll give you my car. I'll give you my car. If you can show me the Bible. I don't need you telling me all this lot of stuff. Show me the Bible, because my pastor said, you can't show me the Bible, don't talk to me about it. If you can show me the Bible where God was lost, I'll give you everything I have, the little bit that he let me use, because I don't own anything. The little bit that he allowed me to use, I'll give it to you, if you can show me where God was ever lost. Never was. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you've given us today. Lord, we did just what you say. We pull up a couple more scriptures, but we did just as you say. Lord, we ask today that you just continue to touch us, Lord. We are hungry. We are thirsty. Lord God, we want more of you. Lord, press on our hearts that we will spend more time in your presence, O God, fasting and praying, O God, and seeking your face. Lord, we know that we are pressed from every side in this world, from the north to south to east and the west. It's squeezing us, Lord. Lord is trying to make us do more to be part of it. But, Father, we ask, and Lord, that you continue to sever us from the things of this world and draw us closer to you, Lord. Lord, we recognize that we can't do anything without you. So, Father, we ask you to forgive us for the times that we try to do things without you. Help us, oh God, to walk in that path that really, truly glorify your name, God. And help us not to push our chest up like we are the one doing it. Let us remain humble, oh God. Help us. Push us down, Lord God, till our knees hit the floor. Lord, we know it's you, Lord. Father, we ask you to have mercy upon us and forgive us each time that we fail, oh God. Show us that path, God, that brings glory to your name. Father, our only desire is to please you. And it hurts us, Lord, when we come up short. But you said it very clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We ask, Father God, that you extend your mercy hand over the United States of America right now. We are in a dilemma right now in our nation. They're telling me, Father, that the shelves in the stores are going bare because the government is pushing us in that place where they want us to depend on them. Lord, I ask that you help the people to stand up and see that the stimulus check is not going to help us. It's only going to draw us to a more dependency on the government. And when you depend on the government tells you what to do, what not to do. You have no liberty. Oh, Father, we ask you today that you continue to touch your church. Touch your church in a miraculous way, Lord. That your church wake up and come alive to the things of God. The things of Jehovah El Shaddai. Lord, we pray today for every marriage. Lord God, that you cause the glue to remain firm that holds them together. And Father, we pray for everyone that is suffering with cancer. Everyone that is suffering in the asthmatic symptoms, their lungs, kidneys, bladder, pancreas, brain, breast tumors, lung tumors. Lord, we ask God that you heal. Touch. Touch our young people today that is going astray, Lord, that is turning from the truth and turning to a lie. And Lord, we ask you to arrest those that are spilling the lies in the atmosphere to deceive our young people. Arrest them, Lord. And Father, as you touch the governments of the nations and convict them to the truth, Lord, we are content to give you praise. We are content to give you glory. And we are content to give you honor because you alone are worthy, Lord Jesus. Wake up the preachers to the truth, Lord. Help them to stop compromising your word. Help them to speak the truth in love. Help them to reach out to help the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, and the orphans, oh God. Help them to be not to be so self-centered, but help them to be humble. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on in, Bishop. Come on in, Bishop. Come on in, Bishop. Come on in, Bishop.
Hold on. It's open now.
Okay. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Glory to his holy name.
Praise the Lord, Bishop.
Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for all those who to the message this day. We pray that everyone could understand, and those who had never received Jesus would accept him today. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. And those who have stepped all from right to left and got off the straight and narrow, turn around and come back home. Jesus is waiting, and you know this. And we never know when our soul will be required by the Lord God Almighty. That's why we have to stay. Stay in his graces. And every time you find yourself doing something wrong, thinking something wrong, you say, Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus. I didn't mean to think that. Thoughts just come to your mind. The enemy puts thoughts in your mind. You'll see that he knows you're weak, and he'll put it in front of you. He'll figure out a way to put it in front of you. But the Bible says, rebuke the devil, and he will flee. So we get this rebuke. Say the name of Jesus. You can't say nothing else. Say Jesus. Okay. Now, if you go to the book of Romans, excuse me, salvation prayer is in the beginning at verses 8 and 9. And the word of God says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth, so you see you must speak it out loud, You don't have to scream it to the top of your lungs, but speak it. And it goes into the atmosphere that you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you can say something simple, or you can read it verbatim in the scripture. You know, it's up to you. But you can say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I don't want to fall short of your glory anymore. Please accept me into your kingdom. Accept me. Save me, Father, from this perverse generation. And, you know, you make that confession, and you repent. Do not go back to what you were doing, no matter what you were doing. If you have a bad thought right after you say it, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. The enemy is going to try if it's thoughts that get you. And you'll know because the enemy is not going to send nothing good to your mind. It's going to send something that's going to destroy you, and he knows this. He's very cunning. So you have to be on the watch, be a watchman. Anything that's coming back your way that's not like God, it's going to be the enemy. That's a simple thing that I use. It's simple to me. Maybe other people don't think about it, but it's very simple. God will not put bad thoughts in your mind. Keep that in your mind. You get a bad thought, it's from the enemy. Okay. Now, if you see something, if you're a lustful person and you see somebody, turn your head. Turn your head and say, God, forgive me. Don't look at the person's direction if you're lustful, just for an example. So anyway, you must confess and you must repent. You must. Now, your next step, if you've never been baptized, your next step is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses, beginning of verse 38. And the word of God said, Peter said, come from among them. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you repent, repent, repent. That's the first thing Peter says, repent. And you must come up from among those who are enticing you. If your so-called buddies is enticing you to steal something, because that's what they go around doing, don't do it. See? Enemy. And then there's something that you were doing. You might have just been doing it for fun. You know, just say, oh, hey, that's funny. I'm taking something that's not mine, and let's see if I can get away with it. No, that's destruction for you. Don't fall for the enemy's trick. If you're smoking weeds, don't do it anymore. Repent. Repent, repent. Now, I want to congratulate everybody who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior today, and all those who have returned home, all your prodigal sons and daughters. God bless each and every one of you. Follow the laws of the land. Keep your mask on. Keep your social distance. If someone comes up and they don't have a mask, it's a simple thing like hello, or put your head down, turn. You know, just that, and you can be courteous. It's just hello, how are you? But don't start to inhale anything. If a person comes towards you and they don't have a mask, you use caution. You wear a mask. Don't worry about if people laugh at you. See if they laugh over your coughing. You know, it's not going to be funny then. So don't get yourself in bad trouble and cross over because of some foolish act of someone else because they say, oh, well, you're not going to get it. Don't worry about what they say. Do what the doctors are telling you to do. Keep your hands washed and be careful. Wipe off doorknobs with disinfectant. Things people touch, refrigerator doors, they touch that all day. Car doors, just wipe it off. Somebody pump gas in their car. Just think before you touch it. Or wear some rubber gloves or something if you're going to do that and you don't have sanitizer or something. But protect yourself as best you can. And please wear that mask. God bless each and every one of you. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you. You call Blog Talk again and you say, well, I seek the prayer of salvation. If you do it today, you can use it when it comes to comments, you can say. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. God bless you. And like I said, welcome to the family of God. Apostle Callender, back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you for that prayer, wonderful prayer of salvation today. And Lord, bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace, my brother and my friend. I see you on there, Mother Grant. You can come on in.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good afternoon to everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless. I went to just come back from taking my mammogram. Just hope and pray that everything go well. I have to go back next week to do a CT scan for my stomach. But keep having this stomach pain. So I'll go check that out next week. Just keep me in prayer that everything go well. My reading today, my daughter, she's doing pretty well. She ran home. Her arm is still in the sling. And my other daughter, she still have it. She went to the doctor, and they tell her another 5 days. We'll be waiting to see if it will go away. And that one, you know, that one wouldn't take no shots. She's the one wouldn't take none of the needles. So, yeah, she doing okay. They give her IV needle when she had the, what they call it, corona. She's doing well. My reading is say patience or parent duties. For I have chose you so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Genesis 18 and 19. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy, thy deal of the Lord, his power, and the wondrous he has done. He decreed status for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded for fathers to teach their children. So the next generation would now them even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandment. Psalm 78, 4 and 7. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, then you lie down and when you get up. Deuteronomy 11 and 19. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Exodus 13 and 8. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Proverbs 22 and 6. Only be careful and watch yourself closely to that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Assemble the people before me to hear my word, so that they may learn to receive me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. Deuteronomy 49 and 10. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Proverbs 29 and 17. Father, do not expect your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 4. Father, do not invite your children, or they will become discouraged. Colossians 3 and 21. May God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother. Thank you so much, and I'm glad to hear that your daughters are doing much better. And praise God for you. All will be well. Your tests will be well. Trust the Lord and rely on him. When things seem like they're over the cliff, God is at the bottom of the cliff. And he's at the bottom waiting for anything that falls. Glory to God. He's at the bottom. He's at the top. He's in the middle. He's everywhere at the same time. So you got to trust him. Don't go into a pit of poverty worrying about stuff that you have no control over. Understand? I always know God is in control. Hallelujah. He's in control. So we thanking God for you and praising God for the outcome is greater than the income. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The line is open. Thank you so much for the reading.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Amen.
Glory
to God.
Glory to God. God, we thank God for the word. We honor him today with our voice. We honor him with our praises and our thanksgiving. You know, that's how we minister to God and be there for him and do what he lead us to do. That's ministering to God, and that's what happened today on this line. We ministered to God as we ministered to God. We ministered to the people. We ministered to God. Because it's what God said to do. And today, Apostle, you as our overseer, Apostle, and Mother Grant, thank you for the word. We honor you too, woman of God, your gifts that you use for the kingdom each day that's being used. Hallelujah. When we use our gifts, we minister to God. Amen. When we do for God, we minister to God. And that's what you do as you minister. We are praising God and honoring God. Amen. And he said, when you give to the least of these, you're given unto me. And so we gave today, Apostle, you gave, and you will have the increase as you give. As we give, the Bible says it shall be given. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will the Lord allow us to receive? It'll be running over. Your cup is running over. And that's
Amen.
Very, very running over now. Your cup is running over. As you give out, God gives back. And the more we give, the more he gives back, and our cup begins to run over. And we thank God that on this line, we're running over on this line, because every day it's on, and every day the Lord is being ministered to for the people. We do it for the people. We do it for the Lord. Amen. Whatever we do for the people is done for the Lord. And today you minister to the unlearned. You minister to the learned, to those who are teachers, to those who are pastors, to those who are prophets. You minister to those that don't know very much about how the church runs, how the church works, and the insufficiencies of the church and the good things about the church. You've ministered all of that today. You ministered to the lost, even before Apostle, before Bishop got on this line and gave the prayer of salvation. You were ministering to the lost, you know, and that's so good. And, you know, you talk about that we should be careful about the words we use and make it so that everybody can understand. A lot of times when we do Hebrew and we do Greek, it's all right to do Hebrew and Greek, but not so focused on that, but focused on explaining everything so that people will understand, even the unlearned can understand. Because when Jesus taught, he didn't teach with big words, and he didn't teach with words that people would not understand. Everything he taught that you could understand. Only the blind couldn't see him and recognize him. Only the deaf could not hear him. So but those who could, those who were willing to listen, who had a listening ear, they heard the Lord. They heard him.
Amen.
And, you know,
that's right.
He used metaphors like we do. You know, we use certain metaphors to explain the word, simple things that we do every day and use every day. And we use those things to explain the word, just like Jesus did when he says the trees are planted. Be like the tree. That's just an example, planted by the rivers of water. And when a tree is planted by the water, it's going to be fed. It's not going to be, you know, it's going to constantly thirst quench. It's going to constantly get what it needs so it can overflow, so it can grow, so the leaves would not wither, so that we won't wither in our understanding, so we won't wither. We won't wither away and just shrivel up and die, and our soul will die. Our soul will not be fed. So, you know, some of those things that Jesus used, those metaphors he used natural things to explain the word. And that's so good, and that's what you were doing today. You were using the natural to explain and letting people know, you know, you're trying to show how intelligent you are. You're trying to show how much you know. But are we explaining the word? Are we making it so that people will understand? Are we conveying the message in a way that people will want to come back and hear some more? People will want to come back and get some more. So the way you minister today, then that's the way it is. You know, you want to come back, and it keeps the listening ear in tune to what you're saying. That ear is in tune because they can understand what you're saying. And that's so good. But it's all right to use the Hebrew. It's all right to use the Greek. But then after we use it, even if we're not using the Hebrew, even if we're using a word that's not common, we have common words and we have uncommon words. Everyday words most people can understand. But if we use a word that's not common, then all we got to do is just define it. You know, while you're teaching, you can define the word. You can go to the web, hit your computer, go to the web, and define the word if you don't know the meaning yourself. Sometimes we'll say words and forget the meaning. Sometimes, you know, but you
That's
can
right.
always go
right.
and, you know, say, you know what, I got that word and I remember that word, but I don't remember exactly what it means. And you can just hit that word on your phone and then it'll take you right to the dictionary. So there's ways.
That's right.
We have tools we need to teach. We have the tools. So if you use a big word, just say, and this means that, in other words, blah, 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 blah. And then it comes across where people can understand it. But if we're constantly using these words and using this Greek and not explaining, because see, the Greek and the Hebrew is good because it gives us a better understanding, because back in biblical days, mostly they spoke in Hebrew. They spoke in Greek. They spoke in Hebrew. So when we get the Hebrew understanding, when we go there, and even you don't even have to use the Hebrew word, but when we study, we can go to the Hebrew when we're studying, and it gives us a better understanding of what we're teaching, but we don't even have to use the Hebrew word. We can just use what's defined as the Hebrew. You know what I mean? So as you were teaching today, I was hearing, okay, that's for the teacher, that's for the unlearned, that's for the learned. You know, because even the learned have to still learn more. We don't know it all.
That's right.
We have not learned yet.
That's right.
And that's what you make it very clear in the word. We don't know it all. And I like how you always, you know, you give your testimony a lot. You speak of your testimony a lot. And not only did it help you when you were ministering to somebody else, I heard you say, how you ministered to somebody who was lost, and you said to somebody else, "Come on, let's do this prayer. Let's do the prayer of salvation for this person. Let's go into the word and do the salvation." Well, then you did it with your testimony. You brought them to the Lord with your testimony. That's why we have a testimony. And then you talked about people don't want to suffer. Well, it all comes with suffering. We're going to suffer in life one way. We're going to still suffer, whether we know the Lord or not. But the beautiful thing is when we know God, we're not alone. We're not alone in
That's
our
right.
suffering. We have Christ. That's the good part, because we're going to suffer. But you don't want to suffer without Jesus. You don't want to suffer without carrying your cross. Amen? So when you do that, then we got the Lord. We're not alone. He's going to hold our hand. He's going to be there to carry us if we need to be carried. Pick us up, hug us, hold us, you know. And when you know him in the spirit like that, when you worship him in spirit and truth, you're going to have the help you need. And we all need to be taught, whether we know a lot or not. We all need it. Some people, you might say, well, that person can't teach me. I already know, you know, because I'm ahead of that person. I know more than that person. But it's still good to listen, because the more we listen, the more we retain, right? The more we hear it, the more we'll do it. Bottom line, if we hear and listen and do, then we grow. And that's what I got from the message today. We can grow in the Lord, and we can help other people grow by what we say and what we do. And that's what I was getting. We taught everybody today. Anybody that was on this line, if you were a prophet, teacher, whatever, you still could learn from this word today, because it was for everybody. You to everybody, the Lord, I'll say the Lord spoke, because you were teaching. The Holy Spirit had you to bring it out the way it needed to be brought out. And that's what he does. He's our teacher. And so when we're on the line and we're following the dictates of the Holy Spirit, it's coming out just the way God wanted to come out. Amen. And I know I do. I pray. I say, Lord, you know, help me. Help me to teach so that people will understand. And then I go back and I listen. I listen to everybody. I listen to myself, because there's certain things that we do in the natural when we're teaching. We do some things in the natural too. We are led by the Spirit, but at the same time, we're human.
True.
And we say things out of our naturalness, our humanness, mm-hmm. and then we say things out of the Spirit. And so sometimes we have a little bit too much of that naturalness in there, you know, so I ask God to have me not be so much in the natural, to be more in the spirit. But at the same time, when we're in the natural, not to be too much of that, not to be too much of putting ourselves into it. You know what I mean? But the testimony is great. The testimony that we give each time we give it, it's going to help somebody, because we don't know who's listening. We have to teach so that anybody who's listening can understand. We have to teach with the mindset like you did today, with that mindset that somebody out there don't know. There's somebody out there that may be listening on this line that don't know. Matter of fact, I was talking with a friend, born-again believer, prophetess, and very, very keen in the spirit. But she was saying something that wasn't right, but I happen to know what she was saying wasn't right. And that's why it's good to study, to show yourself approved. Not that I know it all, because I learn from you. I learn from others. And we can even learn from a child. But here's the thing. She was saying that we talk about the devil too much. We say too many things about the devil. But people got to know about the devil. Yeah. People have know that the devil is real. I don't want to talk about the devil because he ain't got no power. Yes, he does have power. That's one of the wrong things.
Yes. He ain't got no power, huh?
If he didn't have no power, all of this stuff wouldn't be going on in the world. Jesus would not have had to come. He had so much power, he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. And, you know, and so you got to know these things. When somebody's talking, if you don't know, then you can believe the stuff they're saying. So that's why it's good for us to personal basis. And here's the other thing the person said, is that the devil can't do nothing because he's locked down. No, he's not. God has him on a leash, and he can, I always say, but he's not locked. Oh, no, the devil is locked up. Oh, no, he's not locked up yet.
Not yet.
Not yet he's not locked up. I say, but one day he will be locked up for 1,000 years. Well,
that's
1,000
right.
years to be a day in the Lord. Well, she knew that part. That's true. However, we don't know. God didn't say how long he was going to be locked up. He said how long, 1,000 years. But That's what God said. That's what we know. Now, how long will the thousand years? Will it look like a thousand years? Will it look like a day or two? We don't know that, but we do know that he will be locked up. He will be locked up for a thousand
years.
Right. Oh, the next he got quiet. Oh, no, the devil's locked up. He can't. Well, why do you think you needed Jesus? Because the devil's not locked up, and he's the one that's deceiving people. So that's why what you were saying is so important. You've got to study the word for yourself. You got to listen to the teachers. Listen. What the word say? Quick to listen, slow to speak, quick to listen, right? Quick to listen.
Yep.
Be quiet and hear. Because just because we know so much, that doesn't mean we can't learn some more. We're supposed to be ever learning. Because only God knows all things, and you made that clear in the word today. And I'm so glad you taught for everybody today. Amen. Everybody. There was something in this word for everybody today. For the teachers who think they don't, they think they do know. Think you know everything. There's something in this word today for us all today. Amen. And we need to always go back and listen. Go back and listen some more. The more we listen, the more we learn. That's how it is. And that's the truth. I know it's the truth. Because there's some things you go back in the Word, Apostle, and I know I've heard you say, you know, I read that before, but I didn't see that. I learned something the other day.
That's right.
I'm going to share when the next time I'm going to share it. It's really profound. And it's something that I had on my mind that I didn't really understand. And I hadn't heard anybody really explain it for me to understand it. And I was just focusing on that one scripture, and I didn't even ask God the question that I've had in my mind for a while. I hadn't even asked him that question, but he knew I had it on my mind, so he brought me to a scripture. I was studying about the cross, and so he brought me to a scripture, and when he brought me to that scripture, he gave me some understanding about something that I've had in my mind about for a long time. I didn't understand it, and it had not been made clear to me yet. And he brought that to me, and I was so excited, and I shared it with my husband. I said, that is awesome, because I was wondering about that. And just when you're not even thinking about it, the Holy Spirit will give it to you, or you could be thinking about it, and he'll give it to you then.
That's
but
right.
I would look at that, and it would go away, and I'd look at it. But I went back to this scripture, and I looked at that, and I was studying about the cross, but then the Lord brought me somewhere else, and he gave me something that I didn't know. And this is what God does. If you have something on your mind and you want some understanding, look at that word and focus on that word, and God will give you something new. He'll give you something that you've been thinking about or something that somebody said that you didn't really understand, and then he'll bring that understanding to us because he said, in all you're getting, get understanding, right? And so I ask God for understanding. I need understanding. And when I teach, I need people to understand. And I ask God, when I listen to myself, I say, God, don't let me do that. Don't let me use hallelujah as a comma. That's one thing I don't want to do. Don't let me use, oh, my God, oh, my God. Don't let me do that, God. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. When we say, oh, my God, it ought to be about something that we're praying about. It ought to be about something that he did that excited us or wowed us. But not just, and now it's to the point they got OMG. Now they abbreviate it.
Yeah.
And to me, not good. That's like blasphemy. That's not good. Using the word of the Lord in vain. He brought that to me. I said, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say hallelujah because I need to think about something else to say, or hallelujah because it's a comma, hallelujah because it's an exclamation point. No, no, no. I ask God to critique me in that way because I say hallelujah a lot. And we're supposed to, but put hallelujah in the right place. Put the commas where they go and put hallelujah where it go. You know what I mean? So these are the things that we can, that the Holy Spirit want to do with us. But the main thing is he wants people to be saved. He wants people's souls to be saved. Amen. So when we're getting it right, when we're doing it right, somebody is learning. Somebody is learning.
Yeah.
This word, my this word today was for everybody, the learned and the unlearned, the saved and the unsaved, the leaders, especially leaders. Especially this word was for the leaders today. And I thank you. I thank you for teaching us. This is a line that will definitely bring us to another dimension in our walk with God. This is a teaching line. We're just not a preaching, hooping. You know, we're not so much into the hooping and wanting to get people excited to entertain people. We're not about entertainment. We're not a social line. We're not a social church.
Ooh,
we're a teaching church.
Right.
We're not social at all, because now church has gotten to be like a nightclub. It really has. It's like I'm going to church to socialize. I'm going to church to look for a man. I'm going to look for a woman. I wanna get my dance on, and you know, the music is just the way I like it. All of that, but that has nothing to do with the Lord. Nothing at all. So as you were teaching, I heard these things. Wow, Apostle is teaching to everybody today. So praise God. I won't keep repeating myself. That's another thing.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Apostle. That was a good, powerful, powerful response. But I need you to pray. I need to pray for us now. I got a prayer request, emergency, from Brother Deacon Fraser. His owner, I believe that's his uncle, where he works, Charles Yarbrough. He's got COVID-19, and he wants to pray for him, and also he wants to pray for himself, because he got to get tested since his boss got the virus. He got to get it tested. So he wants prayer. He's requesting prayer. So I need you to pray for Charles Yarbrough and Deacon Fraser, Brother Deacon Fraser. That all be well,
praise
Deacon, that the Charles Yarbrough would come out of this thing, because, you know, once you go in there with COVID, you know, it's a 50-50 chance. Them people hook you with a lot of stuff and put inside your body, and it makes your heart stop. So we pray that he'll get out of there.
Sir.
And Deacon wouldn't have it. Go ahead, Pastor. No.
Absolutely, Father God.
Lord, thank you,
God,
Pastor.
We thank you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you are all in all, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. Our beautiful Jesus, we thank you for your power, for your love, and how you crown our heads with your loving kindness every day. Lord, we thank you for the mercy that is new today. Every morning, it's new like the
morning.
Yes,
Jesus.
Lord God, we thank you for that mercy that you pour out on us, and your mercy endure forever. And
yes,
we all say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the mercy of God. We praise the Lord for your love. We praise the Lord for your protection, Lord. We praise you for the healing virtue, oh God, that flows from you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For the love that flows from you,
Jesus.
Lord. We praise you, Lord, for
Jesus,
the power that
Jesus,
flows from
Jesus.
You, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, we ask you, God,
yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus Christ. Oh,
yes,
Lord, forgive us all for anything we have done, Lord. Oh, anything we've done,
yes, Father,
or said,
Lord,
not like you, God. Forgive us, Lord, in the name
Jesus.
Of Jesus Christ. Father God, you say in your word,
yes,
that
Jesus.
I am,
yes,
the Lord,
Jesus.
That heals you. Glory be to God. And Father God, we're calling upon you today, our healer, the one who,
yes,
shed
Jesus.
His blood, and your blood flowed, oh God.
Thank
oh,
you,
God,
Lord.
From your head to the bottom of your feet, it flowed, oh God.
Yes,
so that
Jesus.
Everything, Lord God, that could come against us, God,
help
oh
us,
Lord,
help us,
healed
Lord.
And delivered it from it, oh God. And Father God, we
Lord,
bring Brother Yarbrough before you today,
Deacon,
God.
Lord.
We bring Deacon Fraser before you, God, right now.
Yes,
Lord. God, you already know what they're dealing with.
Yes, Father. That's our Deacon,
you
Lord.
In a great position, God.
Touch him,
we
Lord.
Ask you to touch Deacon, Lord.
Deacon
we ask
safe,
you to
Lord.
Touch
let it be negative
God.
Report,
we
Lord.
We ask you to touch him, oh God.
Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Jesus. Let the text be negative. And, oh, Father, we pray that you touch his uncle that he worked for. We ask that you touch his uncle. Touch every organ in his body, oh God.
In the name of your healing virtue, God, with the medicine that only comes from you, Lord. Jesus.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, that our faith would heal, the prayer of faith would heal the sick, Lord. The fervent prayer of the righteous avails much, oh Lord. Oh, God, you said no evil will befall us, God.
Thank you, Lord, Jesus.
Oh, God, we ask you to keep him in your secret place,
thank
oh, God.
You, Lord,
while
Jesus.
He's in that hospital, God, keep him hidden, oh, God, from any wrong, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, my son,
thank you, Jesus.
And Father God, you healed him, Lord. You healed my son-in-law
of
the COVID.
Jesus. Yes.
And you healed many of them of the COVID, oh God. Many
thank
people
you,
have
Lord,
been healed,
Jesus.
God. We're asking you to do it for him.
Yes,
do it
Lord,
for Brother
Jesus.
Bubba. Do it for him and others today, Lord. In the name
yes,
of Jesus,
Jesus
Christ, Lord. All of us were in here in quarantine,
thank you, Lord.
Father God, none of us, God, we all tested negative. Hallelujah. My son-in-law is negative.
Thank
and we
you,
pray
Lord
in
Jesus.
The same for Deacon Frazier's family. Oh, God,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Oh, God, in the name of
thank
Jesus,
you, Lord.
God, that they come out. Oh, God, heal.
Thank deliver, you, Lord.
Made free by your healing
Jesus.
Virtue, by your stripes
yes, Lord.
That you took upon your body. God, you took every disease, every infirmity, every sickness upon your body, oh God. And Lord God, you took it. It was nailed to the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
And on that cross, you said it is finished.
Thank you, Lord.
Our healing is finished. And everything you
need
for our lives is already done. You've already done it, Father.
Jesus.
So Lord God, through your Son, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, we
thank
you now for this healing. Lord, thank you, God. I remember, God, when I had to go in
thank
that hospital and pray for my son, God. Oh, God, you gave me the courage and the
courage
to go in and pray for him. And they had COVID patients all around, God. But you kept me safe,
Lord.
God. You kept me safe, God. And I
yes,
prayed, God,
Jesus.
For other people
yes,
to be
yes,
healed.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Lord, while we were
my
there,
Lord,
we
Jesus,
prayed
you are
this,
shelter,
God.
Lord.
And, Lord God,
thank
we
you,
thank
Lord,
you.
Jesus.
Jehovah Rapha,
thank
we
you, Lord.
Thank you now. Hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord,
amen,
God.
Jesus.
All powerful, almighty God.
Yes,
we thank
yes,
you
yes,
that you
yes,
are
yes.
with Deacon Frazier, that you are with
Jesus.
His family. Lord God, we thank you because you never leave us
Jesus.
Nor forsaken us, Father. Oh, we're so grateful,
Jesus.
God. We pray for every person who's sick right
hallelujah,
now.
Jesus.
My God, to receive your healing if you're on this line. Receive it by faith. The Lord is healing. Hallelujah. Right now he's healing. Right now he's delivering. Right now he's being made
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, the power of the Lord, the great power of Jehovah
Jesus.
Is on this line, Yahweh, is on this line right now. Receive what you need. Whatever you need
thank
now,
you, Lord.
Receive it by faith.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Trust that God is able. I'm on this
thank
line, and
you,
I'm
Lord.
Help
thank
you.
You,
I'm
Lord.
A witness that he healed.
Thank you, Lord
he answered
Jesus.
Prayers. My God, I've been healed over and over and over again. He's asleep over and over again. And God, we know you do it again. Lord, we know you do it over and over again still, God. You're still our healer. My God, you're still a miracle working God. And we thank you for it right now, by your stripes. The medicine that flows.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for that medicine. There is still bone
in
Gilead. There's still the bone that come from the cross.
Oh,
my God, that bone, that healing bone, that's flowing, my God,
Lord.
Hallelujah, to the hospitals, to the nursing homes, to the street corners around the world, oh, God, we thank you for the bone.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, that's flowing like a river in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you now.
Hallelujah,
We bow down to the Most High God.
Lord,
we bow down.
In the name of
Jesus,
Lord.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for touching every family. My God, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus Christ, God, touch. Nobody can touch like you, Jesus. Nobody.
Yeah, Jesus.
I've seen you do it over and over again.
Glory.
Oh, God.
Glory.
Hallelujah. You kept us safe, Lord. You do it, Lord. Hallelujah. So we asking the same for Deacon God. Hallelujah. We were exposed, but
thank
God, you kept
Lord.
Us. You kept us. We didn't know our son-in-law had the COVID. He was just coughing around the house. And we didn't know, but God, you kept us. And
yeah,
you let us
Jesus.
See, I'm still your healer. I'm still Jehovah Rapha. I'm still the
yes,
one that
you Jesus. Yes, you are, Lord.
I'm still the one that keep you hidden in the rock,
yes,
my God.
You are, Lord.
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
In the secret place, oh God.
Glory,
hallelujah.
Glory, glory, glory,
still
glory,
the
glory,
one.
Glory.
I have
yes,
not
Jesus.
Changed. I'm still the one. Yet,
yes, Lord.
Rapha.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, God,
yes,
I thank
Lord.
You now. I thank you now. I thank you now. We're crying out for
yes,
our brothers
Lord.
And sisters sick around the
Jesus.
World. Oh, God, crying out for those, Lord God, who are bound, oh, God, and everywhere
Jesus.
Every yoke destroyed. Every yoke destroyed. You're the yoke destroyer. We're calling on
Lord.
Our burden bearer, my God. You said, I'm your burden
yes,
bearer.
Lord.
Oh,
yes,
God, we
Lord.
Thank
yes.
you for bearing
Lord.
Every burden right now in the name of
thank
Jesus
you,
because you're God. You're God now and always yes, will be, Jesus. Always have been. We thank you for it
oh,
forevermore,
yes.
Jesus Christ. Forevermore, Jesus Christ. Thank you for healing our apostle when he had those headaches, God. Thank you for keeping Sister
thank
Nancy
you,
safe
Lord,
as she
Jesus.
Goes out to work, oh God, as she travels
thank
and
you,
takes
Lord,
care of
Jesus.
Family and do the errands, God, and taking care of Mother
thank
Granny as
you,
she
Lord,
travels
Jesus.
And taking care of the people and taking
yes,
care
yes,
of her family,
yes, yes, yes.
Even her daughter, oh, God, that you're healing
yes,
her daughter.
Lord,
God.
Yes, Lord,
oh,
yes,
God,
Lord.
Just, thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Oh, we bless
glory
you,
be
Lord
to God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank
Jesus.
You. You're healing my daughter, God. You're healing her knees, God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
in her body,
Jesus.
God, in the name of Jesus, God.
Thank you,
oh,
Lord,
let your
Jesus.
Power flow, Lord. Let your power
yes,
flow, Lord.
Jesus.
Your healing virtue flow, Lord.
Thank
let your
you,
power
Lord,
flow
Jesus.
In your voice. Be heard.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Father.
Thank
yes,
you,
Father.
Lord.
Yes, Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you
oh,
for touching my
you,
husband,
Lord.
His body, God, his limbs, his feet.
Oh,
oh
yes,
God, every
Jesus.
Bone in his body, every muscle. Hallelujah,
oh.
God, every tendon. Every
what a mighty God we
body,
serve,
God.
Jesus.
I
yes,
thank you for
yes,
your healing
yes.
virtue just flowing
yes,
through now.
Jesus.
Flowing, God, in the name of
yes,
Jesus, God.
Jesus.
Thank you for strength to your people, God.
We thank
oh,
you, Lord.
God,
we thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for strength
Holy Spirit,
in his
we thank
name,
you.
Strength in his body. In the name of Jesus,
Holy
strength for
Spirit,
our
we thank
God,
you.
As he goes out, God, and work to help the
yes,
poor.
Lord,
oh, Father God, thank you for keeping him
yes,
safe
Lord,
and giving
Jesus.
Him even the more increase in knowledge
yes,
naturally
Lord,
and spiritually, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, touching Millie Jefferson and her family members, that quite a few of them are sick
thank
right now.
You,
Father, we thank you, God, for healing them.
Hallelujah,
as well.
Lord.
Oh,
Jesus.
God, for your glory to be
do
in
it,
your house.
Lord Jesus.
God. For your glory, God.
For your glory,
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah, yeah,
for your glory, Lord.
Oh,
for your glory, Lord.
For your glory, God. Hallelujah.
For your glory, Lord.
And we thank
for
you
your glory,
for
Lord.
Test,
Jesus.
Every testimony. We even thank you for the suffering.
Lord
because
God,
of
we thank
good.
You.
Oh, God, we thank
Lord
you.
Lord God, we thank
you.
You
said in all.
Hallelujah,
your ways.
Jesus.
Give God thanks in everything.
Yes,
thanks,
Father.
God. And I pray, God,
we
continue
Jesus.
To acknowledge you in all of our ways in the name of Jesus Christ,
thank
oh, God.
Lord.
Oh, God, we thank you for healing Janine, God. We thank you. Oh,
thank
God, you've gone
Lord.
A mighty long way. Hallelujah. And every witch that thinks they can kill her, they can't. It is not so in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, God. Hallelujah. You will not suffer the witch to live. Lord God, we call it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Every sentence, we call it null and void.
Ooh, glory, 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 glory,
every
glory, glory.
Every word that was spoken, oh, God.
Yes, Father,
it,
yes, Father, yes, Father.
Sender, in the name of Jesus.
You are
oh, that
the mighty God. You are the mighty God.
Hallelujah. He wanted
yes,
to destroy
Father.
This woman. He even wanted to destroy our apostle.
The great I am.
But he can't do it. He can't do it, God, because
yes,
your power is greater than his power. You're greater
yes,
than our
Father.
Power in this earth. You're greater than everybody
yes, Lord,
in this
Jesus.
Earth, oh, God. You're greater than every devil,
Jesus.
My God. Your power is greater, and we thank you,
yes,
Lord,
Jesus.
That no weapon formed against any of us shall prosper. And every tongue that rise up against us, we condemn it right now. Every tongue that has risen up against
it, Lord,
us in the past or even now, we condemn
it,
right,
Lord,
now.
We send that stuff back to the pit of hell right now. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. We seek you and we seek you, only God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. You're the only one that can do it, Father.
Jesus.
We've seen you do it over and over and over again.
Yes.
You're the same God now that you were yesterday.
Jesus.
We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
We bless you. We thank you for healing apostles' granddaughters. Hallelujah. And we thank you for keeping our granddaughters in college, oh God,
yes,
as they are
Lord.
Living in those dormitories.
Thank
you,
Lord,
for
Jesus.
Keeping them safe, for hiding them from the wicked wild.
Oh,
enemy,
Father,
God,
you're faithful.
In the name of Jesus, hide them, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And we plead your blood over the top of their heads to the bottom of their
Jesus.
Feet, oh God. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you for the camp around our children.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty, mighty God we serve.
Jesus God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
Lord.
Keep our granddaughters, our grandchildren,
yes,
our
Jesus.
Children in school, oh God. Keep them safe, oh God.
Yes,
in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus, safe from the viruses, safe from the illnesses, oh God. Safe from
thank
the
you, Lord,
files.
For fighting
oh,
our battles,
God,
Lord
in the
Jesus.
Name of
thank
Jesus,
you.
God. By your power,
thank
you,
Lord.
You, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Thank
you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
oh
yes,
God.
Lord.
Oh, God, thank you. You shed that blood and it flows.
Yes,
oh,
Lord Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That your blood is flowing in this earth,
you,
Father,
in
the name
you,
of
bless
Jesus,
you, Lord, Jesus.
That is flowing upon
Lord,
our children.
Lord, we bless
children,
you.
Flowing upon our
Lord,
families,
we bless
Lord,
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Us,
thank you for
God,
what you're doing right
God,
now,
God,
Jesus.
Thank you for this.
Yes,
ooh, for your Holy Spirit.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Ooh,
Jesus.
For
Lord,
your
Jesus.
Power.
Thank you.
Oh, God, for your
thank
power.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. No
thank
power
you, Lord.
Nobody likes you. Nobody like you. I've seen you do it over and over again, God. Oh, God, I just
thank
you for
Lord.
The experiences you've given us, for the word you've given us, God. We ask you, God.
My Lord.
To apostle, God, give us strength
you,
to do this, oh, God, to do your word, to do your
thank
work.
You,
hallelujah. And, oh, God, for our brothers in Africa,
thank you, Lord
for
Jesus.
Our brothers in India, for our brothers and our sisters, oh,
thank
God,
you, Lord
working
Jesus.
For the kingdom, oh, God, working for righteousness, oh, Father.
Thank
we
you,
pray
Lord
you
Jesus.
Strengthen them. We pray you continue to encourage them.
Jesus,
we pray,
Jesus,
God, you continue
Jesus.
To give them that boldness that they need to go
Jesus.
Out and minister in your name and to withstand whatever, God,
Jesus.
Whatever comes against us, God, we can stand and do all to stand by faith. Jesus, that you help us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight, God, that we don't lose sight of you, that we continue, hallelujah, to be fearing you, God, always, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Hallelujah. Mountain moving faith, water walking faith, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Lord, we thank you. You have made it so. You have made it so. You have done so, so many times. Oh, God, we ask you to keep Nancy Callender and David Callender's mother, Father God, mother that's still alive and well. Father God, we thank you. You've kept her so long. And, Father, we thank you, God, hallelujah, for keeping her now, right now, God. In the name of Jesus, keep her well, Lord. In the name of Jesus, keeping her safe, Lord. In the name of
thank
Jesus,
you,
God, I thank you. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Because we can't be with our loved ones 24/7. Hallelujah all the time. But, God, we know you can. We know you can.
Yes.
And be with every
hallelujah.
One of our family members that come to this line, every one of our families and our ministries, oh, God, we thank you, God, for carrying us, for keeping us. For teaching us.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And for empowering us
yes,
to
Lord.
Do what it is. You have called us and
yes,
chosen us
Lord.
To do
thank you, Jesus.
Father, we need you, God.
Yes,
and
yes,
we thank
yes,
you,
yes,
God.
Lord.
We know we got you.
Mm.
We said, I'll be with you always.
Yes,
and the word
Jesus.
From the Father, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, I'll be with you always. Don't let this world trouble you. Don't let your sickness trouble you. Don't let your marriage trouble you. Don't let the children that misbehave.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Give it all to the Lord. He's your burden.
Yes, Jesus.
Give it to him. Give it all to him. Today.
Thank you, Jesus.
And let him have his way. Because we all gotta
Jesus,
journey to travel.
Jesus.
And Lord, we thank you. Keep us on the highway.
Thank
God.
You, Lord.
Keep us on the highway.
Yes,
heaven,
Jesus.
God. In the name of Jesus, God. And let us look to
thank
you.
Thank you, Lord.
To the left and to the right. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. We bless you now. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Keeping our children.
Yes,
keeping
Jesus.
Our children.
Yes, Jesus.
So many of them got the COVID, God, but we
yes,
thank you.
Yes, Jesus.
For keeping them and healing them
yes,
as well.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus,
hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Yes, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Deliverance,
oh, we
Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You,
we bless
thank
you, Lord.
You,
Lord. We bless you.
You know what we all need.
Lord, we bless you.
You know what we all stand
for. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you.
Lord,
we bless you.
Lord,
we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus.
We thank you, my Father in heaven.
There's none like you, Jesus. None like you, Jesus.
Nobody, Jesus.
Oh, Father, we just thank you for this apostle. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the unction to minister to us and pray today, Lord God. We ask you, Father God, for all that she has poured out in prayer, Lord, that you would pour back into her, Lord. Lord, you heard her heart desire. She prayed for us, for your children all over this world, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to wrap, you continue to wrap your arms around her, Lord God. Her husband, who is so dear to her heart, her children, her grandchildren, Lord. We ask you, Father, to continue to keep them covered, oh God. Let the blood that never lost its first stake rest upon them. Let that resurrection power, oh God, resonate in them, oh God. God, we declare and decree, God, that the house is clean, God. And Father, we thank you, oh God, for her son, Peter. We thank you, Father, for son Darren and the other son in Texas and the grandchildren. Oh, God, her daughter-in-law. Lord, we just declare it right now, Father God, that Peter is being healed, God. God, even though he denied the medicine, Lord, we call it healing, natural healing from heaven, oh, God. The supernatural healing that come from heaven, God. God, we ask you to manifest in Peter's life. God, I ask you to fix every brain cell that is messed up. Everything that, oh, God, fix the electricity in his brain, oh, God, and cause the signal, oh, God, to operate according to your signal. Oh, Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus, oh, God.
In the name of
Lord God, that you, God, show up in this young man's life, oh, God, that he, God, can continue to do what he's called to do, Lord God. Lord God, that he'll be a productive member of society, Lord God, that he will have no fear, God, that no one will fear him. Lord God, that he'll walk, oh, God. Lord, our God, in your anointing, he'll walk in your appointing. Oh, God, we declare it right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord, we ask you to encamp around the home. Oh, Father, we ask you to watch the back door, the front door, the side door. Lord, we ask you to watch the roof, watch the bake, watch the first floor, all around, watch the garage. Lord, we declare it right now, God, that every assignment of Satan is being broken right now in the name of Jesus. Every assignment, every agenda of Satan for this young man life is being broken right now, not just broken but destroyed in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare it right now. Father, I hear you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for the fear that's coming over Brother Deacon's life. Lord, I come against that fear, oh God, of COVID. Lord, I come against that fear right now. I ask you to lift up fear off of Brother Deacon's life right now. Let him know that you have not given him the spirit of fear but a power, love, and a sound mind. Let him know that he can trust you. Let him know that he can depend on you, that COVID has no power, it has no authority, and it has no dominion over his life, that he shall live and not die, to declare the works of the Lord. Father, I ask you to continue to order his footsteps right now. I speak life to him right now. in the name of Jesus. And even as Pastor was praying for the Apostle Jefferson, I hear it now, Lord, I hear it. I hear it. God, let her know that her steps are ordered. Let her know her steps are ordered. Let her know that her steps are ordered. Let her know that the weight that she's carrying is not her weight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let her dismantle. Let her let go the weight that she's carrying on her shoulders. Let her know that the weight that she's carrying belongs to you, God, that your shoulders are heavy, that you said you would carry the weight of the world upon your shoulders. Hallelujah, the government of this world. God, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you begin to go through the crevices of a home. Ah, yes, Lord, that you begin to go through the crevices of a sister's home. And God, you begin to, oh God, dispel every satanic agenda, every satanic plan for that home. God, I ask you, oh God, to dismantle them right now. Dismantle them from the top to the bottom, oh God, from the side to the front, from the back to the front, oh God, from the roof to the basement. God, I ask you to dismantle every satanic agenda right now. Satan come to bring death, but I ask you, oh, Father, I pray in the precious name of Jesus, send back that spirit of death to the pit of hell where it came from, because it did not come from heaven. You declared that she would prosper and her sister would prosper and be in health, even as the soul prosper.
Yes,
so, Father, we declare life in that home right now. We declare life in that home. We declare that the angel of life is in the home. Huh? The same angel that you dispatched to Daniel when Daniel was praying and the angel appeared to want to destroy Daniel. You dispatched the angel Gabriel and Michael, oh God, to fight on Daniel's behalf, oh God, so that the praise could come through. Father, I declare it right now in the name of Jesus that the apostles' prayers are getting through. They have got through the throne of glory even right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her sister. We plead the blood of Jesus over her, over her family members, over her grandson, over her daughter. Lord, our God, I pray the blood over her brother-in-law. God, he has a spirit that needs to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I destroy that spirit that is trying to conquer him right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I speak life to him right now, that he shall not die in darkness, but he shall come into the light in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak life in that house right now in the name of Jesus, from the front door to the back door, from the stairs, oh God, to the floor. In the name of Jesus, Father, I speak life right now, God. You said to call those things that be not as though they were. So, Father, we call them. We believe in, oh God, that you are the God of that house. We believe, oh God, that you are the lifter of that house. And Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we speak, oh God, through that house, from the bedroom to the bathroom, from the bathroom to the kitchen, from the kitchen to the living room. Ah, right now we speak life, even in the closets. Oh God, we speak life right now in the name of Jesus. We speak life, Satan, you don't have any resting place. You are the bear of darkness, but we release the light of God. Satan, you have no place in that house. The light of God is in that home. So you have to get out. You have to go where you can stand, where you can find a place to rest. There's no resting place for you right now. Go and see if you can find some dry land and don't even come back, because there will be no place for you. Be filling your place right now. We're filling that place that you were hiding out. We are filling that place with the light of God. With the light of God in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you and praise you, oh God, for showing up right now and showing out. God, God, we thank you for turning upside down the things that need to be turned upside down. And the things that need to be turned upside right, you turn upside right in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you for touching that apostle right now. Oh God, we thank you for strengthening her. We thank you for empowering her now. Let her feel strength. Oh, God, renew her strength right now like Nehemiah. Let us cry out, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Lord, for empowering her with new strength, fresh endurance right now in the name of Jesus. You said they that endure to the end, oh, God, will be saved. Father, I ask you right now to help her to endure to the end. Help her to endure to the end. Help her to stand up in the midst of all that the enemy is bringing against her and let her know that she has already got the victory. Oh, glory to God. You said the victory is in Christ Jesus, and she has Christ. So, Father, thank you that she has the victory. Her sister has the victory. Yes, Lord, her brother-in-law has the victory. Her daughter has the victory. Her son-in-law has the victory. Her grandson has the victory. In the name of Jesus, Father, we declare it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you, and we glorify you in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. God, the blood is covering every prayer that went forth this morning. Every prayer that went forth over this line. God, the blood is covering. Right. right now. The blood is on the doorpost of all of our hearts today, Lord. God, as we receive the praise of the righteous, availeth much. God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Thank you for Pastor Stewart, and thank you for Pastor Joyce Stewart. Thank you, oh God.
Yes,
thank you, Lord God, for making a way where it seemed to be no way. Thank you for fixing the roof to the church building. Oh God, we thank you that they could get back in there and minister to your people, that more would come back. Oh God, we just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. God, we praise you, God. We glorify you in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. In the precious name of Yeshua, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Tiskinu, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Elyon, Lord God, Jehovah Shabor, yes, Lord, Jehovah Jireh, my God, the great I am, Jehovah Emmanuel, we praise you right now in Jesus' holy name. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Things are turning around in your name. They're turning around in your name, Jesus. I thank you right now. What thing that was impossible is possible right now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I hear the Lord say some people got some negative reports from the doctor, but God says I'm turning them around. The report is no longer negative, it's positive. The Lord says no longer negative, it's positive. Supernatural turnaround.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all you are, God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We worship you, Lord. You are mighty, God.
Thank you for healing my granddaughters, my great-granddaughters, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, you did a work. You did a miracle, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What the doctors couldn't do, you did, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah,
Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless you right now.
Oh, Lord, for helping our brothers, our sisters,
right now.
All around the world, God.
Bless you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Touch your touch, Lord. It is well with your people, Father, in our homes.
Hallelujah, on our jobs, it is well, Lord. Our hearts
thank
will not
you,
be
Lord
trust
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, we'll be at the peace. We have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, God,
thank you, Lord.
I must say to you, Lord, the peace that surpasses understanding. God, it guards our hearts and guards
you,
our God, because we've given you our supplications
Jesus.
With thanksgiving, oh, God. We've given you our supplications, God. We've given you our petitions, Father.
Jesus.
And we did it with thanksgiving, Lord.
Jesus,
and you said,
Jesus,
now
Jesus.
The peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your
Jesus.
Heart and guard your mind. Father God, thank
Jesus.
You for teaching us to do it. Yahweh, your way. In the name of Jesus,
Lord.
Your way, God. Hallelujah. Your way,
Lord.
Everlasting God, we praise
you. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you
Jesus,
for our lesson,
Jesus,
God.
Jesus, Jesus,
thank you,
Jesus.
First love, we praise you.
Jesus.
Oh, my
Lord,
Jesus.
Jesus,
glory,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Glory
of
God. Thank you for the glory,
yes,
God. Thank you for the glory,
Almighty God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for speaking to us, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for
thank
speaking
you.
To us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for drawing us even closer, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Lord,
Jesus.
Thank you for keeping us all together, God. Thank you, God.
Yes,
we know it's by
Jesus.
Your mercy, oh God. We know it's because of what you do, God.
Yes,
oh,
Jesus.
Lord, thank you for keeping us together, one
thank
family.
You, Lord.
All together, united, God. Keep us united, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
One more. There's one more.
Thank you, Lord.
Married, oh God, married to you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What a marvelous God we serve.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, we bless you. Lord, we bless you.
Yeah.
Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mighty God.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, if Bishop wants to come in and pray and close us out, he can.
Yeah.
And keep us in prayer. We're expecting a big storm tomorrow. And keep us
Hallelujah.
In prayer. You know,
Absolutely.
A lot of people,
Absolutely.
They're expecting a lot
Hallelujah.
Of people to lose electricity. And
yeah,
I pray that
God.
Nobody be hurt.
Yeah.
And I need to pray for the young woman and keep her in prayer with her father.
Mm-hmm.
Young lady, that the people is so crazy right now that we have to pray more, Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, there's such
mm-hmm.
an anointing on the line right now. I tell you, it's such a sweet anointing mm-hmm. on the line. And
yes,
seeing that every
yes.
time we get a chance to pray, that anointing, that particular type of anointing comes in on the line, that makes you feel
yes,
like you, not God. Cry, but it makes you feel like you want to weep. I know, you know, there's a
yes,
difference to weeping and crying.
Know.
But that anointing makes
that's
you feel
wrong.
Like you want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this young woman went into the store. She was a college student. And this man, they say he was a homeless man. But when I saw him on TV, he didn't look too homeless. He dressed too clean. Then he went in and stabbed
mm-hmm.
that girl, young girl, to death for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Guess when he stabbed her? You see, because this spirit
oh,
is in
God.
The earth. And the
oh,
church got to stop playing church. The church needs to really pray.
Oh, they got to wake
and
up.
See,
oh,
they got to pray.
Mm-hmm.
They got to pray. If we don't pray against that desperate
mm-hmm.
that's in the earth, many people will die. Many
right.
people will die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
God.
The church is praying. I was praying last night. I prayed. I prayed this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pray for the church to wake up. Church is got
yes,
to a place
yes,
where the church
yes.
is comfortable.
Yes,
you hear me, Apostle? The church has got into a place where the church is comfortable.
Yes.
And the church,
yes.
God said the church
yes.
got to become uncomfortable. When we become uncomfortable, we begin to work for the kingdom. We are comfortable.
That's right.
Church has I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the church in general. It's become too comfortable. They got their fine cars, their fine home, they got plenty of money in the bank, and they think that's it. That's not it. People
that's
are dying
it.
And going
not
to hell because we will not speak against sin. We will not speak
mm-hmm.
repentance. We will not speak about the kingdom of heaven. We will not speak about the kingdom of God. And God said we got to
mm-hmm.
get back and get this kingdom mindset. You got to get back to having a kingdom mindset. When you get to a kingdom
Amen.
Mindset, you'll begin to do kingdom business. You'll begin to do kingdom
That's right.
business, but we're not doing kingdom business anymore. We are too busy being comfortable, looking like the Joneses and the Jeffersons, and God said, time is up for playing church. We got to become
much.
The church. Intercede, pray. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I will hear. He didn't say the pastor. He said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land.
He said that. I will hear. Yes,
church got to go back.
Thank you for
church
got
to get back to praying and humbling themselves.
Thank you for hearing us, God.
They're pushing our chests up too much because we have the doctorate degree.
God.
We got the PhD now. Can't have, people can't even call you by your birth name. I'm a doctor, this, doctor, tell them to get to your name. Pastor said, one pastor tell me one time, I'm Bishop so-and-so. Address me as Bishop so-and-so.
My God.
I made a mistake and called him by his married name, Mr. So-and-so.
Mm.
And he didn't like it. He said, I'm Bishop. I'm Bishop. Address me as Bishop Wright. Address me as Bishop Wright. He had an attitude. And guess what? Apostle, the same bishop is a bisexual bishop. He's a homosexual. His wife died from his disease.
My God, Jesus.
I had a beautiful wife. She just died last year. She died from his disease. Evangelist Brown don't know him. She died from, he's a really good preacher. And he can sing like an angel. But he loves me. Do you hear what I'm saying? But he wants me to call him Bishop. Bishop. And I didn't call him Bishop. I called him Mr. Wright. His name is Lincoln Wright. We're not recording, so I can say that right now. And I said, how you doing, Bishop? I said, how you doing, Mr. Wright? He said, man, address me as Bishop Wright. Just like that. He said, address me as Bishop Wright if you want to talk to me. I said, wow.
That is
sad. See, because we're more focused on the title or the talent than the Savior.
Mm.
Not even the gift, the Savior. They're more focused on the talent and the title than the Savior.
That's right. That's the truth.
Because he said, I will exalt you in due season. He said, if you humble yourself, my God, I will exalt you. You see? In due season. That's what he said.
Amen. You know, that's the first.
I'm praying, Pastor. I'm constantly praying every morning for God to help me to walk constantly in the light of God. Yahweh. I'm very conscious now of when I say God, because knowing that Satan is the God of this world, you know, I don't want to be misconstrued. I want to know, you know, that I'm talking about Yahweh, the God, Yahweh, not the God of this world. So I ask him all the time to keep me walking constantly in that path of the God, Yahweh. Because it's so easy to be distracted by the things of this world and slide off of that path. Very easy. Don't care how long you've been teaching, preaching, singing, dancing, playing the keyboard. That Satan is very tricky. I tell you, he's very tricky. And you know when you were saying that book, that lady, that saying Satan had no power, that's the first thing he do. Deceive people, that making people think that he's a weak fool. He was defeated. He's a defeated foe. But he defeated by Jesus, the one that have all power. Remember this. He's a defeated foe. And a lot of people run because the Bible say, oh, he's a defeated foe. But he was defeated by the one that has all power, Jesus. And when people run around saying, no, I have no power, they're a good candidate to be misled by Satan. To be deceived by Satan. Satan got a lot of power. If he didn't have no power, Apostle, he can take a turtle to the angels with him. You hear what I'm telling you? If he didn't have no power. He took a turtle, what belongs to God, with him. So that tells you that he got some power. You hear? And those angels that he took with him had some power too. They had some power. And he took them with him. He deceived them to go with him. People run around talking that stuff. I'm glad you helped her. I'm glad you helped her, Apostle. Go ahead, Bishop, and close this out.
I'm sorry, Apostle. Another call had come in. That's okay.
Oh, no problem.
No problem. Lord God Almighty, I thank you. I thank you for the message that went forth today, Father God. Bless your holy name, Father. Oh, God, I pray for those who have the dreaded disease, that they all be healed of that disease, and that this thing will go away, Father God. Take no more lives, oh, Father God. And those who have passed it on, Father God, you deal with them, Lord. I'm not going to even say do this or do that. You are the master. You make the decisions, Father God. I feel sorry for them, and I wish that they would repent evil deeds. Lord God. But Lord God Almighty, we knew in this world that things would happen, and all we can do is pray and ask you to continue to be kind and loving to every one of us. And until we meet again, Father God, we still bless your holy name and pray for everyone on the line. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so, Bishop. Let me know if Apostle Billy able to bring the word tomorrow. If not, I'll come back in tomorrow. If she can't bring it, I'll come back in. No problem. All right. God bless. I love you guys so much. Have a blessed evening and be safe. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you all later. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen.